This is Jeremy Renta.
And this is Amy Solara.
And you have discovered Mantra and Magic,
a podcast where Eastern philosophy meets Western magical practice.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you. Scorpio Energy Report.
You and your creepy seasonness.
I'm just not creepy. That was just my announcer for a truck rally. Scorpio, Scorpio, Scorpio.
Welcome to the season of Scorpio. Oh, it's already been there for a few days, but this is Mercury.
Yeah, we're kind of in it a little bit.
Just chugging along.
Yeah, exactly. The phones, there was some problems making the connections and whatnot, this, that, and the other.
But we're here now, I think, because I have honored Mercury quite frequently in the past few days. It's like saying, make offerings, make it happen.
Well, I mean, I feel like we're in Mercury retrograde so often that it's like, yeah,
you know, this is the way that shit's.
Yeah, all the time. So, and we'd kind of talked about this on the secret episode. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, we've got a really good episode that we're posting up this week as well that I think you would really enjoy. Go drop in. It's $3. You're going to dig it. But we were talking on that about the people who are born with – I had to remember what the hell I was talking about. People who are born with retrogrades in their chart and how – when we move into a retrograde season or retrograde time, it's just normal for them because having confusion doesn't really affect them. They're kind of like, yeah, this is the way I came into the world. Mm. You know, it's just something that's kind of already there. So yeah, I don't really think it's,
so
I don't want
to, outer planets, they retrograde all the time.
Yeah. And I don't want to say anything negative about it either. It's just kind of like, you know, it's part of the way that the system works.
So. Yeah. I highly enjoy retrograde periods, but I also embody fully and without any hesitation the key word that Deborah assigns to Virgo, which is I analyze.
Mm-hmm.
So retrogrades are the perfect period to just review, to go over everything again, check all of the boxes, and really dig in. And so if you go to our Patreon, you will hear the full episode. We've just talked a lot in the beginning about personal stuff, and so we didn't want to post it to our public pages, but we also talked a lot about really great things, and so we're going to post it for all of our Patreon subscribers. And once you become a subscriber, you have access to all the secret episodes and you have access to all of the video versions of our regular episodes.
Well, all of the video versions of the interviews, because we don't necessarily always do video versions of these conversations. Which maybe we probably should start doing, honestly. Like, I don't know why, as a guy who worked in post-production for as long as I did, I'm so averse to doing video content.
Now you agree with me? Now he agrees with me, people. My God. Okay. So, yes, head on over. We didn't dive super deep into just what Scorpio is, so we'll give you a little blurb right now. Jeremy's in the middle of level 2 with Deborah Silverman, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Applied astrology. I finished level 3. If you want to sign up with either of us for an astrology reading, we do some pretty cool stuff. We will talk about how Scorpio is in your chart, if you ask us, because it's in everybody's, technically, in some form or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
It shows up really strong for those who have their sun in the 8th house or who have Scorpio as sun, moon, or rising, or their Mercury is there. But for everybody else, it's this underlying possibility, because I say to a lot of people that I talk to, we all have some part of us that relates to it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the 12 houses and the 10 planets and the 12 signs, because that's how humans are made. So you have Scorpio in you, whether you believe it or not. And that means that you have the power and the desire Those are both very Scorpio words. The power and the desire to know all the parts of yourself and to heal through the pain.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky enough to have Pluto conjunct my sun, not in Scorpio, but like having that scorpionic energy, some of that energy that's like constantly in my life. I've realized, and of the teachers that I've worked with, and of the readings, kind of like half readings that I've had with people, full readings, and people who are kind of interpreting my chart, they say because of my placement and because of where Pluto is with my sun, it means that I'm a really good healer, and because Pluto and my sun are conjunct with Mercury in my ninth house in Libra, it also means that my voice is healing, which you may have noticed. I'm a big fan of my voice, and I love talking, and the mantra and toning and any of the energetic languages that I do. It's like, it's almost as though that was set up for me when I came into this world. What are you telling me that I kind of had this planned out beforehand? Way to go, Past Jeremy. Okay, thanks. Soul contract. Yes. What up?
Yeah. So, this Scorpio season right now, a lot of people are experiencing fear. A lot of people are experiencing chaos. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are experiencing what they would perceive as negative sensations. But the thing to know with Scorpio is it is ultimately the healer, like you said, Jer. Mm-hmm. It's a healing aspect. It's being able to do your shadow work, which doesn't mean wallow in the shadows. It means bring them into the light. And that takes a lot of self-reflection and a lot of willing ego death, which Pluto would be more than happy to help you with.
Yeah.
As a planetary frequency that you can kind of call upon. I think this time as a time of Scorpio is transformative. And that's why a lot of ancient cultures and a lot of early pagan systems gave this time of year that theme of we go into the darkness in order to find the light. We go into these parts of ourselves that are no longer serving, and we let them die and make space for new things to grow. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the cycles of life. It's part of the rhythms of the planet. It's part of the rhythms of our own natures. And Scorpio doesn't need to be something to be feared, just like a lot of other things don't need to be feared at this time. They're really just there to present to you where you still have space to clear and to create.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the big thing. There's so much power in the darkness. Like anytime we repress or suppress or push down or ignore or deny any of those things, we're not doing ourselves any favors with any of that stuff, because if you put it away, it's still there. It's still taking energy from you. It's leeching it. And it's just kind of sitting there. It's like Scorpio energy. I've kind of equate it to, like, you know, if you're not willing to go down in there, it's like a dark vault where you put a lot of the strengths and stuff that you have. Like you're not using any of that stuff. And that is literally energy that you could be pulling up, looking at it, dealing with it, and then you don't have to ignore it. You know, you can use all of your extra time and all of your unconscious and subconscious mind to actually deal with other things. You know, you don't have to put those things over there and then it's like a closet that's stuffed with shit. Like, get rid of that stuff. Like, you can clear it out and look at it. You might not even need it.
Put it in very clearly labeled boxes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, have your wrapping paper in one of those Tupperware containers, those gigantic Tupperware containers.
We do.
Yeah, I know you do. I've been to your house. Everything's pretty well organized. It gets out of it got out of control a little bit when you had the little ones like between 0 and 2, but you know,
yeah.
Once it all kind of got settled
right
in,
now, it's in a good space.
Good.
Yeah, and with this combination of Mercury and Scorpio, it's like, where have you been afraid to look into the dark as a pattern, and that's going to be the most productive place to look. Because if it's something new that's only occurring because it's this year and the things that are happening this year are causing a new sense of panic to run through your system, that might not be as effective as looking at the thing that you've always been afraid of. Because That's probably a little, it's probably taking up more space in that esoteric closet.
Right.
So being willing to sit with that and knowing that also you've got resources, you've got tools. We've done stuff on talking with ancestors, on talking with spirit animals and these guides that are there really until you don't need them anymore. But, yeah. That they're willing, they're ready to help. You just have to ask. And during these times, they can be felt a little bit more easily because what they call the veil is thinner. It's just this illusion that we're separate is what I think it really is. Yeah. But.
And I mean, that's, it's weird too, that like, you know, part of it is like having the vibe of Halloween or, you know, mm-hmm. any of that stuff that's kind of like the modern interpretation of is like to look at things that are scary that aren't really that scary. Like horror movies are an example of that, where it's like you pay to be scared for an hour and a half so that you can get that little bit of, you know, it's very existential kink, right? You're like, I'm scared of this thing, but I'm going to look at it for a little bit and that somebody else is having to deal with it. And like, again, you realize when you're, at least when I was a kid, I remember watching like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street and things like that. And I was terrified. And then when I got older and I looked at it and I was like, the makeup's really not that good. And, you know, the visual effects and special effects aren't that good. And then, you know, it's kind of the same way with a lot of the stuff that you don't talk about in your own life, you know, whether it's sex or any of the other types of things that are technically considered taboo. I've recently started doing a lot more work with journaling too. And it's like, you know, when you write down the stuff that you're working on and you're, you know, I do shadow work in my own way. I think we all do. Like some people want to go and dance. Like sometimes ecstatic dance is helpful. Sometimes, you know, doing a men's group or a men's circle where you just have men quietly listen and allow you, like hold space for you and allow you to process through things. Sometimes that's really good. But I gotta say, for me, like literally just like writing down the things that I'm, you know, ashamed of, the things that I'm scared of, you know, for the new moon, I'm going into like some of the things that I'm like, have been terrified of even looking at or admitting to myself over the past, you know, 42 years of my life.
Full moon?
No, for the new moon. So I'm like, I'm planning ahead for, you know, like,
yeah, but. Oh,
yeah, no,
coming up on a
no, we've got time. Like I'm talking about, yeah, I'm talking about mid Scorpio or middle of November. So I think that it's helpful too to like, this is another thing. It's like, you know, Deborah Silverman, both of our astrology teachers, always talks about giving out permission slips. And for this, I think in Scorpio season two, I think you could, it's okay to give a permission slip to like, it's okay to not be ashamed of anything. You know, you've done these things in your life, or there may be things that you're kind of a little bit scared of. And it's okay to admit that you're scared too, like to ask for help. Like again, shining the light onto the places and seeing what they actually are helps remove some of the mystery and the stuff that's kind of scary about any of that stuff.
Well, it's like when we were talking to Yakov and he said, fear is there to wake you up. If you're afraid of something, again, it's just something you haven't fully incorporated in some form or fashion within yourself. Right. And we did a whole thing on integration too, so we can go back and listen to that episode. But all this work really comes down to being able to fully stand in one's power and hold responsibility for the choices that have led to this moment right now. This is very second. And that includes identifying with your divine nature rather than your human ego self, and your divine nature knowing what's in store because it's already chosen it. So get into that existential wormhole and have fun. But know that no matter what happens next week, right, there's a lot of fear on people's plates about what's going to happen next week. It technically,
the event that shall not be named. Like, there's a lot of fear going on for some reason in the beginning of November 2020.
One day on Tuesday. Oh, no. Yeah, I really do think that it's just showing where a lot of people are feeling out of alignment. Mm-hmm. And where in our lives are we feeling out of alignment and why? And where are we hoping for a savior to come when, because it's the story of our culture rather than stepping into our own power and truly saving ourselves, because there's, and also knowing we don't need saving. Mm-hmm. There's no saving needed. And it's a space of acknowledging that we have the choice and we have the responsibility with that choice. And then we have the power with that responsibility to do things, to make things, to be, and that no external circumstance can remove that knowledge and that awareness. And it's just us choosing to be or not to be within that alignment.
Yeah. I think it's kind of humorous that the concept that the the eighth house in Scorpio rules, you know, sex, you know, psychological repression, and taxes is in there as well. Like, there's this concept of like giving part of yourself for the whole too. Like, there's an idea of like kind of supporting.
Well, it's controlling other people's right. money. Being very powerful and magnetic, and others being drawn. And that's kind of the sensuality and the sexuality and the desire. But then there's also the mystery of life and mm-hmm. death. And there's only two things that are certain in life, and that's death and taxes. So of course taxes.
I'm sure that there was a point of some time, and at least with like paying taxes wasn't a thing. It might've been like an energetic tax.
Yeah. Before money incarnated, when she was still in energetic frequency, mm-hmm. then yes, there was no tax. But that's a whole other thing, and you would have to sign up for a couple courses to go down that road.
So what else is going on this weekend? Yeah. Because, or I guess it'll technically be last weekend when this is released, but...
No, I was going to post this.
Solid Friday. Gold. So what else is going on this weekend?
You're listening to it.
Yes, you are.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. So the full moon technically starts Friday mm-hmm. Because it moves into the sign of Taurus, but it won't be exact until Saturday, which is Halloween, mm-hmm. All Hallows mm-hmm. Eve. And not everybody celebrates that one. And a lot of people who celebrate it have no idea what they're celebrating, which is really entertaining. I think it's a wonderful new tradition that humans have created as an excuse to tap into spirituality that they don't understand. And it was originally put there by the Catholic Church to try and cover up an earlier pagan holiday, and technically it wasn't even an earlier pagan holiday, it was the day before, which is why it's the eve of the mm-hmm. holiday. And then All Hallows Day would have been the day immediately following, and right now on our calendars it's always the 31st and the 1st. If you're looking astronomically at it, sometimes it shifts, sometimes it's a day later or a day earlier, because this is technically the cross quarter point. So if we're looking at the four major solar holidays of two equinoxes and two solstices, then there's the halfway point between each of those. And that makes eight. And that's where we get the pagan wheel of the year. And it wasn't until last century that we started celebrating that. Weirdly, a lot of people don't realize that, as some of these other holidays were seen as more important or less important by different groups of people. Some people only celebrated the solstices. Some people really were obsessed with the autumn equinox. Different indigenous groups from around the world. You can go find all of that out on your own. But know that the name Samhain is spelled Samhain. So it's confusing. It's
so if you're
Celtic,
Googling it, yeah.
And that's a Yeah. If you're DuckDuckGoing it. If you internet search it, Samhain, it's a Celtic word for a Celtic holiday. And it is the day after Halloween. And then the day following that is Dia de los Muertos. So that's the second. So you can do Halloween, Samhain, and Dia de los Muertos and hit up a lot of different cultures and get a really broad spiritual experience. There's other underlying things, though. If you're looking at it as the astronomical holiday, this is the halfway point between when we experienced equal amounts, balance, mm-hmm. of light and dark with day and night, and when we're going to experience the longest night and the shortest day. And so this halfway point is really the darkening. It's going into the darker spaces with awareness and with your eyes open. And that's Scorpio to a T. And that's why I really think this holiday can be celebrated whether you believe you're a witch or not, or whether you have any specific pagan traditions or not. If you could be Christian and still celebrate this with the same intention of walking into the darkness to shine the light. And Scorpio as a theme could carry you through.
Yeah, I like the idea of just getting rid of the religious aspect in general and just seeing how it is that, you know, we as these tiny molecules on this tiny rock spinning through space, and how that it aligns with where we are in the circle as we continue to, you know, just travel mm-hmm. constantly around this gigantic glowing ball. Like, it feels really nice and empowering too, to kind of like, to be part of that, you know, and to be aware of it. We have figured the fact out that we are in a time when, you know, it's getting colder. We're not going to have as much food. Like we talked the past couple of energy reports, we've been talking a lot about like food and consuming. And, you know, once we're getting to this point, at least living in Colorado, there's, you know, we've already had a big snow, and it's like, we're getting into that like inside part. So like, you also can't avoid some of these things. You're going to be around family. You're going to be, you know, closer in. We've already kind of been dealing with a lot of that this past year, but you know, being mm-hmm. able to embrace like all aspects of life too, I think it's kind of a big part of that. It's like, you know, this is where we are in this time frame, and it's only going to be for a short amount of time. And I think it makes,
and that includes death.
So all of those things are, everything is, you know, everything's temporary, right? And that's not like a Debbie Downer, negative Nancy way of looking at it. It's literally, well, this is part of what is happening right now. It's going to happen every single year. And like you said, you know, 80 years and or 120 years down the line, depending on how long you decide to stick around, you know, you're going to end up having to kind of face that at some point. So I think it's a healthy, release too. And like I love, you know, we watched Coco so many times at your house when I was there. It was on repeat. And just the way that other cultures also appreciate and acknowledge, you know, their ancestry. It's not just, you know, you know, photos on the wall. There's actually like an engagement and an interaction of, yeah, they really liked this meal. We bring that to them. And, you know, there's an appreciation mm-hmm. and an acknowledgement of, you know, the fact that they were here, the impact that they'd had on our lives. And that's, you know, we rarely do that. I know at least now I, you know, talk to my dad rarely on the occasion. We talk like, you know, once or twice a month, maybe, or once or twice every 2 or 3 months. And, you know, it's a check-in on like how my grandmother's doing or how my aunts and uncles are doing. And I don't know if I feel like that's partly me. I can't say that it's necessarily a cultural thing. I know that, you know, we don't live in the same houses as a lot of cultures do, or like are as engaged in their in our family units as most cultures are. So, you know, taking mm-hmm. that time to kind of see how other cultures do it too is I think it's incredibly important for all people to be able to appreciate how it is that we got here, where we're going, and acknowledging the fact that we're not always going to be here.
Yeah. So go make an altar in whichever way you want, and connect to the ancestors right now, because that's what's going on. Is we've all got human roots. We're all we're all on this planet, this rock spinning through space together. And until we learn to acknowledge that, it's gonna cause a lot more strife. But this is the perfect time, perfect season to call on those allies and to really feel their presence and move through it with healing.
And they are still here. That's the thing too. Like there's a cosmic imprint of those things. We think about Halloween or we think about this time of year and it's like scary stuff. It's always that scary aspect. And I think part of the inner work and the shadow work and the psychological stuff bled over onto the acknowledgement of our own mortality, which yeah, we're going to die, but that doesn't mean that we can't like pull from the information that's already out there. You know, like Scorpio is that, is that deep energy. It's that stuff that does get kind of, it's not just stuff down by ourselves. It's stuff that's been stacked up by other people who have been here before, you know? So whether that's acknowledging your teachers, which we constantly do on this podcast, or acknowledging your family members, or acknowledging where you came from, like looking at where you have come from, and acknowledging like what you can do with some of that material to move forward. Scorpio season is also a great time to look back at unfinished projects that you may have left kind of sitting by the wayside. It's it's a time to kind of like dust off your notebooks and or your journals, and to kind of like pick up where you left off. Maybe read back through the last places that you had done some of that work. This feels like, for some reason for me, Scorpio feels very much like a retrograde season, because it is a lot of like, let's kind of take a look back, you know, let's look at back where we came from, whether it's family related or for ourselves. And, you know, because shortly after this, we go into, you know, consuming a lot season. We get into the Jupiter, we get into Sagittarius, we get into, you know, all of that type of stuff. So right now
you could say it's the giving a lot
season. It is the giving a lot season. It doesn't have to be consuming a lot, but I know that I'm a big fan of eating turkey at the end of November, and I'm a big fan of giving and receiving presents. So, but like right now is that, you know, is the introspective time, you know, before we kind of get to that point.
Yeah. Well, this is also, I mean, so depending on what your practices are and beliefs are, and we go into this in the secret episode, so head on over to Patreon after you sign off, but for witches, this is the new year, because this is the time when you let the old year die. It's really acknowledging the death, really going into the land beyond or the Isle of Apples or whatever you want to identify with, and letting ourselves go over a lot of things. And it makes sense to me that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur happen closely to this. They're not the same time frame, but they're similar. That this is the season when you shed and you release and you forgive and you let go and make space and plant the seeds. The seeds get planted because then the light's reborn at the solstice. So depending on which myth you're looking at, which story you're looking at, and which pagan philosophy or tradition you're following, it all changes. But essentially, for most witches, this is the new year, and that's how I celebrate it. For me, I've got a lot of ceremony and holidays happening this weekend, because it's the big shebang. Like, if I lived in San Francisco, I would have Halloween night, which is full of kids trick-or-treating, lots of costumes, super fun, like expressions of there's nothing to be afraid of. And then Samhain is way more spiritual in nature, but a lot of the same themes of celebrating death and life together and connecting to ancestors and making room for descendants and having altars to all those who have died and honoring them and doing the spiral dance. And then the day after that is Dia de los Muertos, and that's a huge party with the ancestors. So it's like the culmination of everything, and getting to walk with them from the graves to the house, honor them with the meal, share stories of the year, celebrate how the whole year's gone, and getting excited to like see them again the next year. And whether it's on this side of the veil or not, I'm very accepting of death as a part of life. The whole weekend is that theme. And again, Scorpio, 100% death is a part of life. Pain and joy go hand in hand, and you, as a human, most of us need to experience both. I would say there's a few people on the planet, like Dalai Lama, who gets to experience a little bit more of the joy because he knows that the pain is joyful in some form or fashion, because it's a spiritual dharma to do it. But with this weekend, yeah, take the time to sit with where old things can finally get some rest, and where new things can be prepared.
Yeah, a little bit of acknowledgement, a little bit of what's up and thank you.
All right.
And I know that we haven't done mantras in a while, and when I mentioned that I wanted to do a Kali mantra, you were like, really? This isn't Kali season for me, that's Aries. And I just feel like, again, part of kind of letting go is being able to let Mama do her thing. And Kali is death. She's time. Mm-hmm. It is, if this is the end of the year, it's, you know, being okay with letting 2020 in this context die early. I think we can cut it off at the end of October. I think that would be good.
No,
been a big Scorpio year. Literally, it has been so a lot of tears, a lot of like inner work, a lot of being, I don't want to say stuck with yourself, but like, you know, having a something that you got to face. Like there was a lot of time where we were just kind of like in our own presence. So, so the mantra that I picked for this week, and I'm going to get back on doing these too. I realized too that we haven't been doing a lot of mantra stuff, and I haven't been posting a lot of mantras to my Patreon. And, as I've said too, going into winter is very Kali season for me. I absolutely love being able to get on my yoga mat, wake up early in the morning and kind of drop in and make contact with her and aspects of her. So, the one that I picked for today is Om Hrim Shrim Klim Adyakalika Parameshwari Swaha. And the translation for that is Om and salutations to she who is the first one, dark within her own reality, the supreme primordial feminine who cuts through illusion to the unabridged truth of existence. So I will have a breakdown of that one on my Patreon for next week. And definitely go over to Patreon and check out the episode that we recorded. This is a short episode for this week because it is, it's 12:15. My time now, and we recorded for like an hour and 15 minutes earlier. I'm very grateful that we actually got a chance to have the conversation. I was very excited about what we were talking about. So if you get a chance, go over and check that out. If you are interested in more mantra work, which I know that that's what most people seem to be interested in on my Patreon, that more of that will be coming soon. I know that I've kind of let that drop off, and I'm grateful for my Patreon subscribers who are still sticking with it. And, there will be more of that going up, and there will actually be video content that's going to be going up. I was talking to Amy about how, I think I actually mentioned earlier, how I've been averse to wanting to do video content. And I think it's time to kind of let that go and let my pretty face shine. So
stepping into Leo now.
I could use a little bit of it. I've got Jupiter over there, you know, may as well.
All right. Well, yep, go check it out. Go check out Patreon. Listen, find all the other old secret episodes. All you have to do is search in the search bar for secret episode. You should be able to pull them all up. And we will see you.